chapter 22. And we're going to start in verse 31 and end in 34. And when you have it, you can say amen. And I will wait. I am a teacher. So when you have it, say amen. Luke 22. I hear one back there. Verse 31. Okay, I hear him coming in. Amen, amen. Amen. All right. All right, so let's get into the word. And it reads, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, or he has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. The word of God for the people of God. So I wanted to come to you today from a sermon titled, Faith That Falters But Does Not Fail. Faith That Falters But Does Not Fail. You see, to falter means to lose strength or momentum in doing something, right? So if I falter, my momentum may slow down. I may lose strength. I may become weakened, right? But then when I fail, I am completely unsuccessful in the goal. That means I can't get to the goal. I don't do it, right? And so for me over the past, you know, few weeks, I have been tested and tried, right? And I'm sure some of us can probably share in that. Many tests where God has been stretching me and he's trying to teach me how to respond in certain situations. And he wants to ensure that I'm not denying him in my responses, right? And so here we have Peter. Peter's been on my heart a lot in the last few weeks, the last time I preached about him when he first came to follow Jesus. And that was a few weeks back. But here, we're at the Last Supper, right? Hey, nephew. but, you know, we're at the Last Supper. And Jesus is sitting with the 12 disciples. And he's basically getting ready to prepare them because this is the last moment that he's going to be with them in the flesh. Like, the time is coming where he's going to be betrayed by one of the disciples. The time is coming where Peter's going to deny him and we're going to go forth to the cross, right? And so this is where he is, and he's like, I got to get you guys ready. And so ironically, the Lord gave me this a few weeks ago, not really thinking about Easter's next Sunday. So this was not planned. This was something that that God definitely did 100%. It was all him. And so it was ironic that he gave me this, but he wanted me to kind of go back and look at the whole thing, right? And so when we were trying to find the room to go to the Last Supper, he sent Peter and he sent John. And he said, hey, he said, go, you're going to go into the city and you're going to see a man carrying a pitcher. And typically women carried pitchers of water. It wasn't men. And so it seems as if he was doing this kind of in secrecy, right? He didn't want anyone to know that he was trying to find this place to talk to the disciples. And so they go, they see this man with this pitcher, and they follow him to the house and they say, hey, where's your guest room? Like, we want to use this room for the Last Supper. Or they don't know it's the Last Supper. They want to use this room for supper with Jesus, right? And so everything's good. It takes place. So everyone played a part in Jesus's road to Calvary. All right. And so that kind of sets the stage, right? So now we're in the room where they're having the Last Supper, and he's talking to all the disciples, and he's like, I need you to pray so that you don't fall into temptation. I need you to pray. And then he talks to Simon, and he says, Simon, Simon. He's trying to get Simon's attention. He didn't just say, Simon. Simon, Simon, the devil has asked for you. And so I tell you, people of God, the devil has asked for you. He wants to sift you as wheat. Because we're getting to a place in time where Jesus is about to be back. He's coming. It's very close. And so what does the devil want to do? He wants to distract you, right? Each and every one of us. He wants to sift us as wheat so that we're not focusing on the word. We're not focusing on getting ourselves ready for him to come back. And so he says, Satan has desired you. He's asked me for you. But how many of us know that the devil can't just go mess with anybody? He has to ask for permission. And so when I'm going through my tests and my trials, God reminds me, Tierra, he had to ask me to come mess with you. He had to come to me first before he was able to just come and mess with you. And I was like, oh, okay, Lord. Because in my moments of emotion, right, my emotions are high. I'm upset. I'm sad. I'm angry. I have all these things going on because I'm like, how do I get out of this? But the Lord said, I allowed him to attack you. I allowed him to do these things because I'm strengthening you for something greater. And so Satan has desired each and every one of us, right? But he has to ask. And so what is sifting? What does it mean to sift wheat? That is the process of separating the edible parts of wheat and the non-edible, okay? And so when we sift, it goes through a sieve. I think I'm saying that right. And you have wheat and you have what we call chaff, right? And so chaff is the hay and the straw, and that's the part that you can't eat. That's trash. We want to throw that away. And so, you know, Satan wants to shake us up so much that we get thrown away with the chaff. That's what he wants. And, you know, John 10:10 says, you know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so in any way that he can, that's what he will do. And he's doing that through this process of trying to sift us as wheat. But in the sifting process, he doesn't want any wheat to remain. But I say to y'all, but God. And I say that because Jesus, in the next part of this scripture, it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. Jesus prays for us, y'all. He intercedes for us. And so in Hebrews 7:25, it says, wherefore he is also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing him ever liveth to make intercession prayer for them. And so we don't have to settle in this sifting. We don't have to cry and, you know, have your moment. I have mine. I ain't going to sit here and act like I don't. Have your moment, right? But remember that Jesus intercedes for us. He is the intercessor. And so he is not going to let anyone do anything to you because you belong to him. He's like a father protecting his daughter or his son. He's going to cover you. And so we don't have to allow ourselves to be sifted to the point to where we get thrown away. And then the next part of the scripture says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. See, Jesus knew that this temporary lapse of failure of faith would not last and that Peter would return to him. And so I preached a couple of weeks ago that when Peter came to follow Jesus, it was a miracle with all the fish, right? And Jesus said, let out your nets. And he said, oh, man, we've been toiling all day, but at your word, Lord, we will put out the nets. They put out the nets. There was a multitude of fish. And when they got back to the land, Peter ran to him, fell at his knees and wept, right? And so Jesus remembered how Peter came to him and how he started to follow him, right? And so Jesus also knew that Peter would mess up. He would make mistakes. But he knew that Peter would always come back. He would always come back. So I have prayed that your faith wouldn't fail. It may falter, right? You may take a step back sometimes. You might struggle a little bit on the way. But you won't ever leave me. Oh, that's a word, y'all. You will never leave me. He believes that no matter what he allows you to go through, because God allows it, that we will always come back to him. Those are the kind of believers that he wants and he needs, that we can fall at our face, that we can pour out our hearts to him, right? And that we can come back in repentance. Repentance is key. And so, yes, I pray that you fail not, that your faith may fail not. And so, you know, I loved how last week Sister Lincoln mentioned Peter, and she said how he was always the first to respond. He was always like, oh, me, Jesus. Like, let me, you know, but he also made a lot of mistakes. And so whenever he got in the boat, or he got out of the boat to walk on water, it was Peter. Lord, if that's you, let me come to you. And what did Jesus say? He said, come, right? And so Peter began walking. And then he doubted, one doubt, and he sunk. But then Jesus was right there to hold out his hand. And he said, you of little faith. Peter faltered, but he didn't fail. He stayed with Jesus. He continued to walk with him through the teachings. And so all of these moments are preparation for the disciples for the moments that would come fast after the Last Supper. They would come quickly. He knew someone was going to betray them. He mentioned that. He said, there's some of you, one of you sits amongst us that's going to betray me. Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times, right? And so he said, after that, he goes, and when thou art converted, when you return, because you're going to falter, but when you return to me, converted means, or at a time, so he didn't say if you return. There was no choice, right? He knew Peter's heart. He knew Peter loved him. And he said, when you come back to me, not if you come back, if you decide. No, when you come back to me. So Tierra, when you come back to me, when you're fully converted, when you're fully committed to me, strengthen my brethren, thy brethren. Make the people around you stronger. Pour into them. And so whatever mistakes you and I have made, Jesus can still use it. And he uses it to make the body of Christ stronger and to make us better and to bring us together as one, right? And so then he goes on to say, hold on 1 second, I'm sorry. And he said unto the Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and death. And so we all have this amazing, you know, hearts that we believe in Christ. And I think Pastor had mentioned it on Wednesday. And Andre, he said, are you ready to stand for Christ? He said, are you ready to die for Christ? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, I am, you know. And so, but when it happens, when it gets to that point, because it's coming where being Christian is going to be illegal, when it really gets to that point, will we deny him or will we accept whatever consequence that is for believing in Jesus Christ? Real question that we have to start really thinking about if we haven't already, and really get that in our minds that, yes, I am going to be a person that stands for Christ no matter the consequence. No matter what happens, I am going to stand for him and sing his praises. Yet when the moment actually comes, gosh, what will we do, y'all? And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny me. 3 times. You will deny me 3 times before the cock crows. And so I wonder, as I was driving and the Lord was downloading some of my message into my heart, I have a long commute to work, and so this is my time with the Lord. And he said, how have you denied me? And I was like, what, Lord? Like, I believe. Time out. But I'm so tired sometimes to pray. Oof. My kids got all kinds of things going on, right? I'm too tired. The devil is wearing me out in the natural so that I can't focus on the spirit. But in that, I'm denying Jesus. I'm denying his power with my actions. I believe here and I believe here, but I'm denying him with what I'm doing. And that resonated with me. So I said, Lord, I had to almost, you know, hit the car. I was like, Jesus, that is so good. Because I do. A lot of us do. We with our actions, we deny him. We don't have to say the words that I don't believe or I don't know him. We do it with our actions. We don't spend enough time with him. We don't know what we should know about him. And it's free. It's in the Bible. We got Bible apps that are free that all we got to do is press play in the car. You don't like the King James Version? Get the American Standard, right? Because that's a lot of excuses. We don't understand it. But we got to learn how to study. We got to learn how to sit with the Lord. And every single day we have to give everything over to him, beginning with our day. And then throughout the day, we pray and we talk to him. And I do every single day. I talk to the Lord every single day. But for me, I need the intimate slow down with him, right? My conversations are on the go. We talking all day. I'm praying all day for people at work. I'm doing the work, right? But that intimate time where I can hear you, Jesus. I hear you speaking to me. I don't want to deny him with my actions. I don't want to deny him with my schedule. I don't want to deny him just because I'm too tired and I'd rather sleep. I'll sleep later, right? And so we got to just make sure that we don't deny him even with our actions. And so during this, Jesus prepares the disciples. And so in the next part of the chapter, Jesus reminds the disciples that he had sent them out before with nothing, right? So as he gets ready to leave, he's like, hey, I'm getting ready to go. This is it. When I sent you out before, you didn't need anything. And they were like, yeah, we didn't need nothing. Like, we went out, we did what we were supposed to do, and he provided. And so he said, but now if you need to take a knapsack, go ahead. He allowed them to do that, right? But he said, don't forget about me. Don't forget about my spirit. And he said, but pray, because temptation is coming. The one that betrayed was there. The one that denied was there. Temptation is coming. And so he said, I need you to pray. And so he stole away. He went to the Mount of Olives like he always had been doing that whole week. He prayed. He got on his knees and he said, Lord, take this cup from me. Right? Not my will, but yours. And he continued to pray, and he prayed so hard that sweat became to come out as blood. That's how hard Jesus was praying. But when he came back to check on the disciples, guess what they was doing? They were asleep. They were asleep because of the agony of Jesus is about to go. We can't be sad. Y'all, we gotta pray. We got to stand up. We got to be soldiers in the army of the Lord. We have to get up. We have to wake up. We can't be asleep. Satan is trying to sift you as wheat, and he's trying to tempt you. And so we have to make sure that we get up. And I just have news for you. He's coming. We're not exempt from any attack. We're not exempt from anything that he has allowed the devil to do to us. We're just not exempt, but we have to be stronger spiritually. We've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. When we come in here to church, we have to just take it all off and just praise him. Lift him up. I know for me, when I lift up my hands, I'm okay once I get in here. The spirit just takes over. But I got to surrender that to him, right? I got to allow him to do that. And so after the resurrection, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Judas betrayed Jesus, right? He gave him up for some money. Okay. We have Judas over here. He felt the shame. He felt the agony, right? Have Peter over here. He denied him. Later on down in the chapter, he denies him 3 times and instantly he starts weeping. Bitterly, because he's like, oh my goodness, like exactly what Jesus said was going to happen, it happened. And he denied him. Shame, agony, same feelings. Judas went on to commit suicide. But Peter came back to Jesus. Sin is sin. Doesn't matter what your sin is. But if you wallow in your shame and in your pity, that's how we become depressed. We become so self-focused and self-loathed that like, oh, like, why did I do this? You got to forgive yourself. It's okay. Because he died for that sin. He died for that decision that you made. He went to the cross for that. He forgave you already. All he's doing is waiting on you to come back to him. And so then we got Peter, who wept bitterly. Why did I do that, Lord? And I'm sure he was still mad at himself, right? But it happened. And Jesus knew it was going to happen. And every single thing and mistake that we've done and that we do, he knows it's going to happen. But you always have the green light to come back to him. There's never a red light to stay away. You can always come back. And so Jesus goes to the cross. He dies on the cross. And then he raises 3 days later. And after the resurrection, Jesus sought out Peter. And he went to Peter. And in John chapter 21, let me get there really fast. He has this conversation. He has this conversation with Peter, John 21, and it's verses 15 through 19. You don't have to go there if it's going to take you too long. And he says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. This is Jesus telling him, okay, you love me, feed the sheep, right? He saith to him again for the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And then he said for a third time, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou know that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when you were young, you girdest thyself and walkest wherever you wanted to go. And when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest go. And so Jesus asked him three times, the same amount of time that he denied him. He denied him three times. Jesus came back and said, do you love me three times? The first two times he said, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than this? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. The last time he said, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. Yes, I love you. And so Jesus said, feed my sheep. So ask yourself, do you love Jesus? And if you do love him, which I assume you do because you're here, or maybe you want to learn to love him, once you are fully converted, strengthen the brethren and feed the sheep. You see, despite all of the tests that he went through and all of the denials and all the things that Peter did, Peter was restored. He faltered many, many times, as you and I have. But he didn't fail. And what I love, just in walking through, you know, Peter's life and just really studying just the things that he had done, by the end of it, he is the start of the church. His first sermon. And so let me take you down that road really fast. Peter went on and he gave his first sermon, confirming that prophecy was fulfilled. Jesus as the Messiah. So he talked about how everything that happened in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. And he made a point to talk about all of the different people that had pointed that way, David and, you know, Joel, and how they said that there was going to be this Messiah that came and died for all of us, for all of our sins. And so he preached that in his message, making it known that he did indeed die and that he rose from the dead. He talked about the importance of repentance and baptism. And he also straightened out that the people were not drunk when they received the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit that fell on them. And after all of this, from denial to restoration, Jesus gave him restoration, but he also gave him a challenge. That no matter the fact that he faltered, no matter the fact that he made mistakes, no matter the fact that he even denied Jesus at times, like so many of us do, Jesus made it a point that he could still use him. So people of God, no matter what your story is, no matter how long you've been away from him, he said, when you commit back to me, when you come back, get what you need to get from me and go strengthen the brethren. Go tell somebody else about me and what you've been through and what you've done. Go tell somebody else about how I forgive. Go tell somebody else about repentance and baptism. And strengthen my brethren. Because he's on his way, y'all. He is on his way, and he's on his way in a very clear way. And so we can either sit and do nothing and wallow in our mistakes, in our hurts, in our pains, or we can take it to God and leave it at his feet, leave them as mistakes that we've made. Tests and trials are going to come. They're going to continue to come. They're never going to stop. But another thing that's never going to stop is the fact that you can go back to Jesus and you can give it all to him and surrender it to him. And he will do the work for you. He will do it with you. Read your word, be in prayer, do all the things that you need to do. And if you need help, you have plenty of people here that want to help you get there. God is faithful, y'all. And so you have probably faltered. You probably made mistakes. We've probably made mistakes. We have made mistakes. Even in how we deal with people every day. I have failed my test privately, but yet publicly I pass, right? It has to transition over. And so I'm working on it, but I'm bringing it and I'm leaving it at his feet. So you faltered, but that's okay. Come back to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you surrendered, God. Giving everything over to you, Lord God. We know that we have faltered, Lord, but we also know that you are faithful, God. And because of your faithfulness, Lord, we can come to you and we can leave all of our mistakes and all the things that we've done at your feet. And we can start over each and every day, God. So we thank you for going to the cross. We thank you for your constant love towards us, Lord. And we just ask, God, that you would just have your way as we continue to walk this journey in life, Lord, as we wait on your return. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, we just thank you. We thank you because your love is perfect. We thank you because you're faithful. And even when we fail, when we stumble, Father, we have a firm foundation in you. So, Father, help these words to be true, Lord. Help us not to just hear what the preacher has spoken, but help us to truly live it out, Lord. As we go throughout the week, when we stumble, when we fall, help us to just fix our eyes on you and to trust you, knowing that you have paid the price and that we can always come back to you no matter what. Amen. Amen. Well, as always, that was an on-time word, because let's be real. We all stumble and we all fall, right? But we can always come back to God, full of faith, sure that he has paid the price and that he loves us. So at this time, let's go ahead and worship in giving. As you guys know, there are several ways to give, so please go ahead and do so now. And once again, just thank you guys for your love and your money that you gave for the van. As you guys saw, it made a real difference. So thank you for that. Also, food baskets are available for members and friends. So if you do need one, please see Sister Boyd, who is in the lobby at the coffee bar. So if you need one, please see her. And last but not least, on May 3rd, we are going to have a church barbecue. So this is for members and children of members as well. So don't invite all your cousins, please. Just come. You bring your family, free food, and, you know, all that good stuff. So May 3rd, and I think the time is from 11 a.m., but we'll get that out to you guys once we know what time. But that is a Saturday, May 3rd. Well, that is all the announcements I have. So please rise, and I will close us out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you because your love is constant. We thank you because no matter what, Father, we have a sure hope in you. No matter what, we know that we are loved, and that even when we fall, that we can always come back, Lord, and that you still have a plan for us. Father, we love you and we honor you, Lord. Help us to truly walk this thing out, Lord. Help us not to look at how many times we failed, but help us to always look at the price that you've paid on the cross. Lord, we love you and we honor you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. You're dismissed. See you guys next service.